This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy, here on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. Also on 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio. Our guest this week is one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, Barry Sanders. We sat down on a Zoom call Super Bowl week, and you will hear that conversation with Barry Sanders coming up. But as my wife finishes up her Instagram post, because she's got, you know, she can't just sit here and do a radio show without
you had to take
a little bit of a selfie.
Well, I look
and now,
good.
You know, as the show starts and we get underway, you're over there and you're posting it on Instagram. So that's really cool. But now maybe you could join the conversation.
I gotta do what I gotta do.
I like it. And this week, I want to talk about something that happened this week that I was blown away. Like, I didn't expect this to happen. And it was crazy, but it's a little bit of a testament to how all you have to do is a little, and God will take care of the rest. And if you just give a little, do a little, feel led, follow Him a little bit. We don't even have, sometimes we think we have to do so much. I get caught up in that. I think I have to do so much. So I'm sure if you follow me on social media, I posted earlier this week a story about, and you lived it because you were with,
yes.
You know, we were driving to Florida. This was back in November time, somewhere around there, right? We were going down. And
it feels like it was a long time ago.
It was only like a couple months ago. So we're on our way down, and we spend a night in a hotel along the way because I don't like to drive 16 hours, which turn into 23, 24 hours with kids and stopping and all that stuff.
30.
So we stopped at a hotel, and that particular night, we go up to our room and whatever. And I, since I kind of mentioned this on some of the social media, I could tell the listeners. Mm-hmm. So I needed more toilet paper.
Listen, y'all, he always needs toilet paper, okay? This man goes through more toilet paper. Like, I mean, did you know the one thing that really caused anxiety for me with this COVID thing is that the toilet paper was running down. Like, we had no toilet paper at some point. I had legit anxiety attacks. I was like, I don't know what this man's going to do. We're going to have to, like, buy towels or something because this is bad. So
I'm a multi-rolly day guy.
Oh my gosh, this is too TMI, but whatever.
But you can never complain about that again because of what happened here. So in this particular situation, we're in a room, and I look.
In one particular situation that this actually worked out.
Okay, I'm looking in a hotel in the bathroom. I'm like, we don't have enough toilet paper. I better go get me some. This isn't going to work out.
Right.
So I go downstairs and I ask for toilet paper, and there's a guy there, and he just looked so depressed. He was sweeping the floor, and he looked so sad, so down. And I don't know what was happening. I didn't know anything about him. And, like, the only thing that came to my mind was to say, Jesus loves you. Mm. And he looked up at me, and I kept going.
Mm. He didn't say anything.
He didn't even say anything.
Wow.
I just said, Jesus loves you. And I didn't take the elevator. I remember walking. We were on the second floor, and I just walked up the steps. And that was it. And I remember telling you this when I got back to the room as you were feeding us, like, you know, your home-cooked dinners that we traveled with and all that stuff. But then this week, here we are a couple months later, and he sent me a email. He got my email address.
This guy used to work the front desk, so he had access
to... Yeah, I don't want to give too much more information about the guy, but I did follow up with an email to him. And
well, there's so many hotels you can never find.
Right, yeah, I know. But he sent me an email. I was trying to... I had it, and I just lost it because you were on your Instagram. But in the email, he said that he was basically, like, at a point where he was so down, so depressed, so, like, he was contemplating suicide.
Right.
And when I said that to him, when I said, Jesus loves you, for whatever reason, he had prayed that day. So he's a man of faith. He had prayed to God to send him a message.
Right.
Right? And he took it as that was the message from God, son, that he sent me to say, Jesus loves you. And he said that he looked me up, and which is obviously easy to do. And he looked me up, and then he listened to some of our Faith on the Field shows, and he sent me this message saying that I have hope now. I listened to some of your shows, and like that day, I asked God for a message, and he delivered that message, and it came when you said to me, Jesus loves you, and I have my hope now. And I, after getting that message this week, which was it, was this week Mental Health Week awareness? Was it even that day? I don't know. There was something some irony like that, there. Yeah. I don't know what day it was this week, but whatever it was, and I reached out, and you know, he's doing well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I had no idea when I said those words the impact that they would have.
Right.
I had no idea. And I posted this on social media, and my goodness, you guys, you made it blow up. Mm-hmm. And I feel uncomfortable a little bit with it because I feel like I didn't do much. I feel like I did very little. I didn't reach
That's
out to help.
That's not very little.
All I did was say.
And I told you that.
I know, but all I did was say, Jesus loves you. God did the rest. It wasn't me. God did the rest. It was almost like, you know, the Holy Spirit through me said, say this to this man, and that was it. But like, I didn't give him money. I didn't find, like,
but we always talk about this that you don't have to, the actions don't have to be so huge. It's more of like the nudge of the Holy Spirit. And I always talk about this on our show. When the Holy Spirit puts people in my mind, I have to react, because these people are probably praying to God for a sign, or someone to reach out, or someone to pray for them, something. So you have, it's your duty to do that. It's not duty per se. It's more like, it's your love for other people. It's the love that God shows you and you show to other people. And through that, that's the grace that God always wants us to extend to other people. And that's what you did. And I'm like, honestly, I fall short sometimes, because I was telling you this the other day when we were talking about it. I feel that I think of myself sometimes in these moments, and I feel like, well, what if they react weird? What if they punch me in the face? What if they do this? What if they do that? And it's stupid, because I should just say,
well, I'm not going to punch you in the face.
We never know. People are crazy. So, like,
I mean, I've said this to, here's the thing. I've said this to a lot of people. You see me every time I give money to a homeless guy. Yeah. I say it to them and all the time. Like, I've never had any reaction that was this impactful.
Right. But also, you never know who that is that you're touching. And let alone, I mean, this person had access to reaching out to you. Most people don't. Mm-hmm. Most people in everyday life, they don't have you on speed dial or know your information or can have access to your information, you know. Especially with the mask on, nobody knows anybody anymore. So you never know the impact that you've done. But at the same time, I applaud you for actually taking that seriously. And listening to that nudge and actually reacting.
You know, it's crazy, though. I've asked myself since I got that email, had I known he was suicidal, what would I, could I have screwed it up? What would I have said beyond Jesus loves you? Like, I said Jesus loves you, not knowing anything other than this man looks like he's just down, he's depressed, he just needs some encouraging words and whatever it may be. Gosh, I don't know if this guy, I've never been in, you know, situation with someone face to face like that. Had I known that he was suicidal, I would hope that hope maybe the Holy Spirit would have given me what to say at that moment, at that time. But it worked out in this situation. And as I said when I posted that day, like, call the suicide prevention hotline if you're having these thoughts, if you're going through that. Please do not wait for that sign or that message that you like it. I'm sure it'll come. I'm sure it'll be there. Right. But I can't imagine, what if we did have two rolls in the bathroom and I didn't go downstairs that day?
No, but see, that's not on you. That's not on you. See, that's the beauty of Jesus. That's the beauty of Christ. He does the hard stuff. All you have to do is the easy stuff.
Do the little and he'll do the rest.
Because he already got you on one toilet paper. One roll on in the room there. He got this. He got the guy sitting there. He got everything ready to go. All he wanted you to do was to follow and listen. That's all there is to that. Just listen to the signs, listen to the nudges, and follow through. But if we keep thinking about it, and because I do it too, I think about it too much.
Well, now are you inspired?
Oh, I am. I'm going to tell everybody. Let's go. I mean, I have. It's not like I didn't. But I
you're a little more shy, though.
I'm more shy.
You're, well, not a little more.
Like,
you're far more shy.
Right. Yeah. When it was strangers, I can talk on radio all day long. I can do
TV all
day long.
You don't like to talk on a phone.
But face to face with people or on a phone, I'm not your girl. I'm a texter all day long. But you call me, you ain't going to get a phone back.
Well, there's a couple things out of this, then. There's a couple things out of this. One, I would like people like yourself, you're saying that you're inspired to maybe reach out. Maybe to, if you see somebody, say something.
Yeah.
Reach out. Do something. Show them in a way that they are not alone. Show them in a way that you care. Show them, ultimately, that there is help for them, and show them that there is hope for them. Because I love, like, in his email, he said, you know, I found, like, that I have hope now. Hope in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And, you know, again, this was a man who is obviously a man of faith. He prayed that day. He said he prayed to God for a message, and that message came. But there's help for you out there. There's certainly help. There's hope in Christ. There's ways to get, you can get help. But like you said, us who, you know, some other people may be shy, just like mm-hmm. you are, to reach out. I love how you just used God's grace a little bit. I wanted to highlight Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this mm-hmm. is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are, this is 2:10, mm-hmm. for we are his workmanship, yep. created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand mm-hmm. that we should walk in them. It's exactly what you were saying.
Right.
This was a good work. I didn't even realize it. I didn't even think of the magnitude of it, but it was prepared by God beforehand, and I walked into it.
Yep.
Weird circumstances, all that stuff, but I walked into it. And God's grace is meant to be for us a way, sort of a catalyst to live our lives passionately and bear this fruit,
yeah.
right? We're not meant to just live life simple, go through the motions, have a normal life, and impact only people, like, for that day or for yeah. that moment. It should be eternal.
Yeah.
It should be lasting. And God, he's got this gift of grace and this love, and he called us to do more. Like, we were meant to do more. And we get so caught up in every day doing whatever we have to do to get through the day. Work, chores, pay bills, maybe a few moments of relaxation, and then do it again and again and again. But there's so much more for us to do.
Yes, and you know what? Here's the thing that I talked to you about this before. I write something called God Moments in my phone. Like, I have a note, and in my note, I labeled it God Moments, and I just put dates and times and everything, and, like, whatever God did that day. The thing about this is not about, like, just record keeping. And record keeping is good because it keeps your memory alive and well on what God is doing in your life. But what it also does is it trains you to always look for God moment and expect God moments and do things with God. Like, because you are a co-laborer with God. You are here on earth co-laboring with him. Mm-hmm. That means you're doing something alongside of him. So when I'm just going about my day, I'm praying for, who can I impact today? Who can I reach out today? Reach out to? Who can I assist to? Or, God, I always pray this prayer. I always say, Lord, lead me to the people that are attached to my destiny. And I pray that I am also attached to someone else's destiny.
Wow.
That I want to help someone else reach their destiny. So when you pray that prayer, you see in your life people pop up, or sometimes people disappear. And you always ask yourself, whoa, this person disappeared. And it must be not be attached to my destiny anymore, because all of a sudden they just poof, gone, mm-hmm. you know, for no reason. There's no falling out. It's just like they're literally poof, gone, right? And when you pray that prayer, you will noticing people falling left and right from your path. But there's also people that pop up and come up in your destiny, in your life. And you're like, there must be something there. And you have to evaluate every relationship based on that. And also, when that happens, you will walk in a situation like this one, where you go in the lobby and see someone and you say something and boom, like that just does something. You're attached to that person's destiny for that day. You did something. And for probably for the rest of his life, he's going to remember that moment. Because you, God attached you to that person for that reason in that moment. And those are God moments. I mean, we have to continue to just write those down, continue to pray over them, and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to more and more and more, and actually ask them to help us evaluate situations and evaluate times and see where we're going, where we're at. And it's really helpful. It's pretty awesome. And back to your point about kind of prevention line and all that good stuff. Sometimes when you don't know what to say, because my background is in psychology and I used to work in a mental health system.
Did you have a lot of situations like that?
I had people pull a knife on me. So
wow.
It's severe, but at the same time, the core of it is hopelessness. The core of all of this is hope. Like, they have no hope. Mm-hmm. They have zero hope. They have nothing to live on. It's bad. So all they want is compassion. All they want is someone to say, it will get better. It's going to be okay. That's all they want to hear. So it's not about like an elaborate lecture. It's not about anything glamorous. In fact, if you would just sit down and give them hope, give them light, give them God's grace, give them maybe just a minute of your time with a prayer, just pray over them. Obviously, if they accept the prayer, it will mean so much.
Wow.
I hate to say it, but part of the reason why I couldn't really continue with that kind of path, because I wanted to, I still did it anyways. I prayed over everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would ask them if it's okay, and I would just pray with my clients all the time.
Were you not supposed to?
You're not. You're not supposed to even mention God.
As a government worker? Are you serious?
Yeah, and I would ask him for permission first if it's okay if I pray and if I share the gospel with them. And I would do it. And to this day, guys, like,
how come I didn't know this about you? We've been married almost.
It's true, but
eight and a half years, 90. Wow.
It always weighed heavy on me because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't bring full Jesus on them. You know what I mean? Like, because I was worried, like, what would it, you know what I mean? Like, it was always the element of like, I'm breaking like some sort of a law or something. You know what I mean? So, but I would still like ask him for permission. Is it okay to pray?
But if you ask for permission, it.
Some of them say yes. Some of them I'm like, I don't care. But I would just pray for them and, you know, and tell them like everything is okay because Jesus still loves you. He's still on a throne. Everything's going to be okay because these people live hopeless lives. Like
there's so many people going through that.
There. Yeah. So,
And now I feel
tough.
Like it is, I think to the situation, I go, well, you know, it's ultimately God using you.
Mm-hmm.
By you allowing him to use you, and God will use us if we allow him to. I mean, that's what we, and I think sometimes it's difficult for us to go like, well, how does God want to use me? Sometimes we think of ourselves as I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough.
Right.
I'm too selfish,
right.
Or I'm too weak, or I'm too much of a sinner. How can God use me when I need help? Right.
Yeah.
But he still finds a way. He uses us in so many different ways. We don't have to be perfect because we're not. None of us are. We're all going to fall short. So if God was only waiting for perfect people to use to impact other people's lives, he would have no soldiers out there. Mm-hmm. He would have no disciples out there because not a single one of us, none of us, are perfect. Only Jesus was. You look back at the disciples, you look back at all of the men that and the women that Jesus they were his disciples. They were the ones going out sharing his gospel and spreading it. Every one of them had a past. Every one of them had a background.
They were kind of the worst of the worst.
See, yeah, you honestly, had anger issues. You had the tax collector. Yeah. You had this and you had this guy and you had all of that. And if we think of ourselves as unworthy to be used by God to help someone else, we need to get over that mindset and understand and relax and
that's
think
all the
like
enemy too. That's
that
all the enemy
that is the
tactic,
enemy,
you know?
And go, yeah, I'm not perfect, yeah. But even in my imperfection, God can use me for something beautiful, and I don't have to do everything. I can just do a little bit. I can do my part. We all have a role. Right.
Yeah.
And if we apply it and do it, so we can serve so many other people. And, I, you know, this particular story with this guy is probably going to live on in my mind for a long time. And it was just, I still go back to, it was just three simple words, but it was three simple words that were impactful to this man and his family and everyone else. And I'm glad that God chose me in that moment, but I now want to look for more opportunities. Like I'm going out and looking around like, man, who else can I say something positive to? Who else can
anyone,
I say
everyone.
Something uplifting
yeah,
to?
Anyone,
who
everyone.
Else may need it? And you know what else though? Sometimes people hide it really well.
Oh yeah.
Like this guy wore that look on his face.
Oh.
Some people don't. Some people can be really outwardly look like they're happy, but internally they're.
Or it comes off as rude.
Yeah.
Some people are depressed or angry, and it comes off as like they're just rude.
So the best way is treat everybody nice.
Yeah, because when somebody is acting different or rude or whatever it is, sometimes they're hiding something or they're just actually carrying a lot. They're carrying a lot of weight. We all go through that. We all go through that weight and the heaviness of the day and the heaviness of life. But sometimes when you just reach out and say, hey, how are you? Or just checking up on you. And it actually lifts up their mood. It lifts up their spirit a little. And sometimes you get a dialogue going or sometimes you don't. And if you do, great. If you don't, also great. You did your part. And that's all it actually makes a difference in somebody's life when you reach out to them. Sometimes they go, that's nice because the enemy was just attacking me with, see, nobody's checking up on you. You know what I mean? And it's as simple as this, hey, how are you? That is checking up on someone. And it would immediately erase that doubt from their minds that nobody loves them and nobody cares about them. So it's sometimes the simple stuff is what matters.
So sometimes it just takes doing a little bit. I want to read this again, the Ephesians 2:10 part where it says, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Mm-hmm. Created in Christ Jesus. We were created in his image and likeness to do good. And when you read 2:8 and 2:9 and you go, it's not, you are not saved by the work that you do. You are saved by God's grace,
absolutely,
not by the work. And for the longest time, I didn't know that. I grew up in a different belief system where I thought you had to earn your way to heaven. But eventually I finally realized and was this scripture was pointed out to me, and I'll never forget the day that you know, Timmy DeMoss, our good friend, pointed out this scripture to me one day while I was sitting in my, I had a Hummer at the time. Remember the baby Hummer I had when I met you? I was about to go in and get a tattoo, and I'm sitting out there, and Timmy and I are on the phone before I got my appointment, and he's like, have you ever heard, hey, Rob, have you ever heard Ephesians 2:8-9? I'm like, well, you know, I've gone to.
You're like, who's Ephesians?
I've read the Bible, and I went to Catholic school for 12 years, and I know John 3:16, and
right.
I know, but no, what, Timmy, what's Ephesians 2:8-9 and 10 say? And he reads it to me, and he said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created. And he. At that time that he said it to me, and I remember where I was, I remember the year, I still had not been, I didn't come to Christ yet for another 3 years.
Sheesh.
It was not until 3 years later. But those were seeds that he planted in me, right? And now I can preach and talk about and do shows about this verse that 14 years ago, Timmy talked to me about, and I still wasn't ready for another 3 years. I was too comfortable living my life. I was too comfortable with my belief system. I was too comfortable doing things my way and not surrendering to God and not surrendering to Christ. And then I finally reached that moment 3 years later, and eventually things changed and changed and changed. But I found that my life was never truly fulfilled until I started to allow God to use me.
Right.
So when I was looking for fulfillment in everything else, whether it was looking for fulfillment in relationships, looking to be fulfilled in accomplishments, looking for it in everything that I can achieve, in material possessions, in all of the things of the world, I was never truly fulfilled. And it wasn't until I found Christ, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, And then my life started to change, and then I became part of a ministry, and then I started to share my testimony, and then I started to see how God was using me, that I found true fulfillment. And that fulfillment for me came from allowing God to use me. So I want to encourage everyone out there listening that there is more for you than what the world offers. There is more for you than the accomplishments, the achievements, and dare I even say your sports teams winning championships or any of that stuff that so many invest your lives and our lives into. And for me, it's a profession and all of that stuff. There's so much more to life than that, because that does not fulfill you. You can have all the money in the world and still be unhappy. Right. You can have the fanciest clothes, the nicest cars, the beautiful house, the mansions and everything else, and still not be fulfilled. It's incredible to allow God to use you, because again, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, and we weren't made for all of those stuff that we think we want. All those things that the world tells us, oh, this is where it's at. This is what it's all about. No, it's all about letting God use us.
And it's a beautiful thing. It makes you feel so alive, doesn't it? It makes you feel so alive when you do something like that.
Feels like I have a purpose.
Right. And then, like, I'm when you told me that, I was like, whoa, I live for these moments. I really do. I live for these moments, because they're just, it might be a moment, but it's like a lifetime memory, because it's so beautiful and it's so inspiring. And it makes you feel, see, there is a difference between knowing God and experiencing God. Like, knowing God is like, okay, yeah, I know about him. He does all these cool stuff. But then when you experience him, you actually have an experience with him.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing thing. It's so amazing. And I live by just writing down all the things God does for me. And I'll just stop with this. If you don't experience God, if there is no evidence of God in your life, as in evidence of him moving through you and for you, you're not living. You're not living, because it's a whole new thing. It's a new level. And if you want to experience that, all you have to do is just ask him. Ask him, hey, Jesus, I really want to experience you. I want to see evidence of you in my life. And you'll see what happens as little by little. As you take steps with him, as you move, he will move with you. And you will see evidence of him moving all around you, in your people, in your kids, in everybody. You will see evidence of Jesus in your life, and it's the most beautiful thing ever.
You're making me think of that song.
I see the evidence.
You sing it a little bit. Go ahead, sing it out. I'm trying to find it here. I know, I got
it's
it.
It's right in our
library. There it is. Yeah. And it's here, so I'm going to call it up.
Yeah, you guys, see, listen to that song. Fear may come, but fear will leave. I literally see evidence of Jesus in my life.
I leave the singing to you. That's
everywhere.
Josh Baldwin singing
so
Evidence.
Good.
I love
it's
that
so
song.
Good.
Yeah, it is so good. But like you said, you can see, as he said, I see the evidence of your goodness all in my life, all around my life. If you seek it, you will find it. If
every
you
day,
look for it, if you ask for it, you will find it.
Yeah.
And
you want a sign, he'll give you a sign. If that's how you operate, because that's how I operate. If he wants a sign, he will give you a sign. If you want someone to reach out to you, he will have someone reach out to you.
But you know what? That sign doesn't often come in how you may think a sign will
come.
No,
it will it will come somehow.
That sign may come.
Might be a bird.
It may come in nature.
You never know.
Man, you look it through nature. The sign may come in different ways, but you have to be open and receptive to seeing it. And you have to be in that.
Be open-minded.
Be open-minded, but also be in tune with Christ. Be on the same page. Have that open dialogue. Yeah.
Pray those prayers that we were talking about. Pray those prayers. Like, I wanna see things through your eyes, Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me. I want the Holy Spirit to just guide me. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to guide you and lead you through life so you can make good decisions. And that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is for you to be guided to the right destination. And just doing the things that God wants you to do with your life. So, hey, ask away. That's what He wants to do.
And so sometimes we feel like too shy or too bashful. We're like, I don't want to ask God for this, or I don't want to take.
I'm annoying with it.
He's cool with that. You can ask all you want.
I do.
It's whatever's on your heart. I say this to my daughters. I say this to the girls when we're going to sleep and like, Daddy, I can't go to bed. I'm like, just sit there and pray.
Right.
Just sit there and pray. I'm not tired. I'm thinking of this. I'm like, just pray. Or just talk about everything that you want in the next week or 10 days or whatever it is. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too little. There's nothing that He doesn't want to know about. And He wants to, in turn, use us to be difference makers, to be a blessing on other people, to help other people. And here's one point I do want to make before we go to a break. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our help. But He wants to use us because, one, He's not selfish. He doesn't want to do it all on his own. He wants to work with us. He wants us to see the value and the purpose in our lives. He wants us to have eternal reward for what we do here on earth. And He wants you to just be in communion, one, with Him, and then with everyone else, our friends, people at church, and all around, family, everything like that. So allow Him to use you in just the small ways, and then see the impact of that reach. See the impact of that. And sometimes you will never know how you use people. Like, I would have never known had this guy didn't reach out to me.
But that
doesn't take away the impact. I know about it, and I in turn shared it with people.
Mm-hmm.
But you could be impactful and never know how you touch someone's life.
I'll tell you another thing, though, that you brought that up. Sometimes God does that on purpose for you. So you did that for someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then God, He made Him reach out to you for you this time because He wants to encourage you to keep going. Because God wants us to keep going, and encouragement keeps us going. Sometimes when we don't know the impact, we just say, I don't think I'm impacting anyone. I'm just going to stop this. This madness is too, it's too much. I'm not going to run around telling people Jesus loves you. Because I don't know if it's going to work. You know what I mean? It's
working. No, you're right.
He's cool like that.
That's a great point you make.
He refreshes you when you refresh others.
Yeah.
That's in the Bible. He will refresh you when you refresh others. So that's, you refresh this guy. You actually helped him out. So Jesus reached out to you and said, hey, thank you for doing that. I'm encouraging you in this moment.
I want to let you know that
you did something wonderful. Keep going.
Well, a few people have said that. Several people have said that, too. Don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing.
No, I'm
keep
saying,
being
like, had
away.
He not reached
yeah.
out? Like, had I, the,
no,
the
you're
guy
right.
not reached
you're
out?
Right. No, you're right. And sometimes, and hey, I'll be flat out honest. There are times where I feel, whether it's this show, this ministry, or other things that I'm doing, that I'm spread so thin, that I got so much going on, that I'm like, oh, I just want to shut it down. I want to close it down. I want to go away. I want to not do anything. I don't want this. I don't want to do that. But no, that was great encouragement as well. So up next, you're going to hear from Pro Football Hall of Fame running back, one of the greatest to ever play the game, Barry Sanders. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate plan documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266, like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in April 2017. We've had an awesome lineup, incredible guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list, we will send each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti on all her platforms. We'll let you know about some of the speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages. Some of my interviews with the athletes, some are longer form, so you could check those out there too as well. Barry Sanders is one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. He is fourth on the all-time rushing list with 15,269 yards, and he certainly could have had more. Barry walked away from the game retired at age 30 after 10 years with the Detroit Lions. He was a 10-time Pro Bowl pick, so he made it each year of his career. He was a six-time All-Pro. He was the league MVP once, twice, Offensive Player of the Year, and Barry was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2004. We sat down and had a conversation before the Super Bowl. Here is Barry Sanders.
Barry, you spent 10 seasons with the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford played 12 seasons there before he and the Lions mutually agreed to move on. What do you think of what happened there in Detroit and Matthew moving on to the Rams?
Well, you know, it's going to be a big adjustment an adjustment to some degree, you know, and it'll be, you know, really kind of a changing of the guard and a new chapter in Lions football. He meant a lot to the organization and, you know, and so there is that part of it. You know, we also know that Jared Goff has played in some big time games and was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and that, you know, he's still young and that he's still sort of approaching his prime, you would think, you know, and so I'm interested just to see, you know, how he handles the trade. We have some good weapons here. Hopefully we'll get Kenny Golladay signed. You know, but yeah, I overall kind of feel good about, you know, what we're receiving in return, you know, the draft picks as well as Jared Goff, you know, so I think we made out pretty well in it.
The Lions organization gets a lot of criticism, Barry, for not building around you, not winning around you, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, and then Matthew. Do you think that's fair, or do you think it's just that's life in the NFL? Sometimes draft picks don't pan out, trades don't work out, things happen.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, fans have a right to be critical. And you can, you know, so I think you can term it any number of ways. We want things to get better. I think, you know, I think this year, this offseason, kind of cleaning the plate, starting anew. You can't say we hadn't tried everything possible this go around to really try to get things started in a new direction. But I think that kind of criticism, you know, when you go certain stretches of time without making the playoffs or winning, then, you know, I think you kind of open for criticism.
Was there ever a point during your career, during your time there, that you considered asking for a trade? I know it was different a little bit back then. Players didn't move around quite as often as they do now. But did you ever consider it? Did you ever approach management and say anything?
No, I never approached management with anything like that. Never really had a serious thought about playing somewhere else. I like playing here in Detroit and had great years here. It would have been nice to win more, and be able to create that here. And I feel like, to some degree, we made progress with that during my time, but just didn't quite get there.
How involved were you, Barry, with this search for a new coach as a consultant? Did you have conversations? Did you help them put a list together? And what do you think of Dan Campbell?
You know, my involvement pretty much consists of, you know, I had a couple conversations with Chris Spielman and Rod Wood, just kind of see what they were thinking. You know, I knew that they were interviewing candidates and things like that. And it doesn't surprise me that they landed on Coach Campbell. You know, knowing the kind of player Chris Spielman was, I could see how he and Coach Campbell would get along well when you start talking about biting kneecaps and things like that. That was pretty much the extent of my involvement, just kind of understanding, you know, where they were in the process, and knowing that sort of thing. We're looking to turn the page and start a new chapter in Lions football.
A guy I know pretty well, Deuce Staley, is going to be the new running backs coach over there. How well do you know Deuce, and what do you think of that move?
Oh, yeah, I've just seen him in passing, and that was certainly welcome news. You know, I mean, he's another guy that's in a lot of ways, like Coach Campbell. You know, he played the game, you know, at a high level. He's been around the game since retiring, you know, and so he's very familiar with today's NFL and today's athlete and that sort of thing. So I think he'll be, you know, a welcomed addition and a real asset to our team.
Barry, a big topic of conversation lately has been Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, getting passed over again for a head coaching opportunity. He had 6 interviews out of the 7 jobs this year. Why do you think that keeps happening?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not the one to ask. I mean, obviously the guy knows what he's doing. I think sometimes you can be a victim of your own success. You know, people see how successful they've been and all the weapons they have, and maybe they hold it against them or what have you, you know? And so it's probably an example of a double standard, because, you know, most others, people who have that kind of success, you know, it doesn't take them long to find a job, but I'm sure he'll find something at some point. I don't know, you know, but just looking at his situation, I don't know of many better situations than he's in currently, but, but the fact that he's looking, you know, you would think that someone would have picked him up, you know, so it's just kind of one of those things. But I've known Eric for many years, and it's amazing to see, just his maturity as a coach and to see him enjoy the kind of success that he's had. Whoever decides to give him a shot, I think they're going to be very glad that they did, because obviously he's shown that he's well deserving of it.
Did you ever have the opportunity or even consider, think about getting into coaching? I know they often say when you're a Hall of Fame player, it's not as easy to have that success pass over, translate into guys you coach. And they always say those who can't teach. Was that something that you ever thought about?
No, not really. I, I, um, You know, I'm at a good safe distance from the game currently. You know, I kind of like it that way. You know, I never really saw myself as a coach. You know, so it was never really something that I strongly considered, honestly.
Anytime I ask a running back, whether they're past, present, if they saw you play, even if they didn't see you play, they saw highlights of you, your name always comes up. When I say, who's your favorite running back of all time? Barry Sanders' name is always at the top of guys' list. How about you, as you look at today's game, who are some of the guys that you really enjoy watching?
Well, I think, you know, at the top of that list, you look at what Derrick Henry's been able to do the last couple of years, you know, just had a phenomenal year this year, eclipsing 2,000 yards. And, you know, last year going into going into New England and beating the defending champions, you know, with a nice playoff win there. And so you look at Derek, you look at some of the young guys. I mean, being in Detroit, you know, I see a lot of Dalvin Cook. He's another one of those guys you can give the ball to 20, 25 times a game. And he's going to get you 100 plus yards and that kind of thing. You even look at some of these younger backs who's come along, you know, the Jacobs kid for the Raiders or you know, the kid from Wisconsin, you know, who played for Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, you know. I think there's just, you know, I even think Zeke Elliott was a little down this year, but I think he'll be back next year. I mean, you look at the kind of numbers Zeke has put up his first, you know, 4 or 5 years in the league. He's been among the best. You know, Adrian Peterson, he's at the tail end of his career, but I've enjoyed watching him throughout his career and being another Hall of Fame caliber type player. So yeah, I think the league is in good hands as far as running backs are concerned. I mean, you know, there's a lot more I could mention, like Alvin Kamara, you know, who had another, you know, fantastic year and others. So yeah, now as a running back, as a former running back, you know, there's a lot of guys that I like to look at.
Barry, I heard you once say that you grew up in a church, but it wasn't until college that your faith was tested, and it was at that point that you were saved. What happened?
I think when you get out on your own, you know, you get out on your own, you're away from your parents, you know, you really find out what you believe and what you've been taught, you know, and what things, you know, and what things are going to stick with you. So I just think going away to college and you know, facing real life challenges and then obviously even, you know, more so going into the NFL, you know, you realize, you know, those things that you believe and that sort of things and good real life lessons.
I've had a lot of conversations with Rocket Mortgage over the past year for different things that I'm doing. I know you're working with them, Barry. What exactly is a Super Bowl square?
Oh, absolutely. Well, really, it's just a great chance, man, for fans to win a lot of cash during Super Bowl. And so it's just a bigger and better version of your normal game of squares. You know, where pretty much every time the score changes, fans will have a chance to win $50,000. And then two other fans have a chance to win $500,000. You know, and so if you want to find out more about it, go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. Get signed up. It's free to play. You know, so we know we got fantastic offenses in this game, and the scoreboard could potentially light up. And so maybe fans can win a lot of cash playing squares.
Barry, this was an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and I wish you a ton of blessings.
Great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
That was Barry Sanders. This is Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler, and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We've got various packages for all of the radio stations. We can also do podcasts, social media, video clips of our interviews. There's a ton of different ways that you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow our ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. And also, we've recently added, you can help our ministry by purchasing some of our new merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and so much more. The My Story, His Glory t-shirt is very popular. We have a new design that's got a football helmet, and it says, "I wear the helmet of salvation," which we took from Ephesians 6:17. So check that out on our website, also at faithonthefieldshow.com. You can look under merch and all over our social media. You can also find that stuff too. Thank you to Barry Sanders for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work for Faith on the Field. And thank you to all of our listeners and everyone who makes this happen. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.